Okay, guys, welcome to the exciting channel. We're discussing Mandela effects and the like. Thank you for joining in. Welcome on Mandela Effectians. So I'm joined tonight. We got Brian Stavely, we got Gloria, we got Guy Fox, who's here with us tonight. And we also have Nathaniel, and Teresa should be back. We got Corey, and Cynthia Sue Larson is going to be our special guest tonight. She'll be actually here about 11:30, so we're looking forward to that. Who would like to go ahead and start? Guy?
Yes.
Guy, I believe you had something you were going to tell us about something about Star Trek, right?
Yeah, that one's gotten some reaction out there. So the whole beginning of Star Trek, the Kirk, the original series, is Kirk blank Final Frontier. some comments on that one have accused me of clickbaiting, but I clearly heard space a Final Frontier, but there is some debate. What's that?
I said it's never been that for me.
That's right, crazy. Right. It's pretty solid as far as the written quotes, except for I did find a good cluster of people quoting it as space of Final Frontier.
Really,
but the funny thing is, with this one, a lot of feedback has been that it's kind of like a Laurel Yanny. It's kind of like the pretend to pray or began to pray thing. A lot of people are like, I hear the, and then others, I hear and it's back and forth all over the place. I think it's a teaser Mandela effect.
Yeah, usually when it's one word like that, that changes. You could hear both, depending on what you want to hear.
Yeah.
You know what's weird is I played it back a bunch of times, and I made a little clip where I played it a bunch of times, and then I slowed it down and played it a bunch of times, and I still hear every time now, which is so wrong to me. But the same clip I had Brian listen to, and Corey and everybody, and Brian said it was for him, and then it was the, and like he said, it was going back and forth, right, Brian?
Yeah, it seemed to go back and forth. I played it in slow motion the other day, too. I slowed it down to about half, and it still said, And that's why I was shocked. And it seemed like it sort of flipped back for me, but a lot of people in the comments were still saying it sounds like A to them, like,
Yeah, it sounds totally like A to me. And even at the same exact time that you were listening to it, I was listening to it, the same clip, and I heard, and space, a Final Frontier. It's crazy, man. Like I said, it's insane. Yeah, it was never that.
It's making me look like a monkey, because honestly, like.
No, Brian, that's a little too late for that.
No, seriously. Like, not long after I put out that video, it changed to the for me. It was weird. Like, what?
Yeah, and you made a video, too, so you're like, oh, man.
We got a Laurel Yanny thing going on with it.
Yeah, it's weird, because I remember a final, and then I remember the, too.
Hold on, guys. We have a phone call.
Oh, boy.
Teresa's calling my phone.
Not Marty.
Marty McFly. Marty.
Who's that guy?
Brian, would you tell Teresa to call your line so we can keep mine open for the callers?
Brian, I was just calling her to call it out, but I didn't get through.
All right, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll message her.
Sorry about that, guys. Yeah, the phone lines are open right now. We'd love to hear from you. Let me play this clip for you guys real quick, okay? So we have.
What is it?
The Star Trek.
Oh, all right, cool, because I got something I want to say on Star Trek before you move on. Go ahead. Go ahead. Play the clip.
I mean, you just have to do a quick search for it. It comes up, Star Trek, The Final Frontier.
Because that's what it's always been.
She read my message, so she should be right here. Yeah, it was always The Final Frontier for me, Brian. Get the clip.
Yeah, any other effects too after this one?
Oh yeah, before you do more effects, Teresa, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air.
Hey, what happened, guys? You're like all died.
These are Brian's computer crash.
Are we back up?
Do it again, Brian.
Okay, one more time.
We're live. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, ready?
The Final Frontier.
Okay, yeah, man. That's really odd to me.
Yeah, A Final Frontier. Now it's back.
A Final Frontier.
And that's very wrong, dude. When I grew up, it was always the – I know Star Trek really well. I wouldn't say I'm the biggest Star Trek nerd. Like, I was more into Star Wars. But I always watched all the original series with my mother. Every episode, she recorded them all to VHS. We had all the movies, you know, at least the first five when it was all the original cast. Yeah. And with the new guys as the original, because I like that. You know, those guys are good, too. But
I was watching it before they had the before VHS was even a thing. I've seen every episode many, many times, hundreds of times. I've heard the intro growing up and through my life. Never once, not once in my life, have I ever questioned the beginning. I've never questioned what he said.
Wow. No. And I called my mother because, you know, I'm trying to get ones that she'll really resonate with. And she's like all about Star Trek. It's her favorite show ever. You know what I mean? So, you know, she cried when Spock died in like real life and in Wrath of Khan. So I called her up and I was like, you know, Ma, you know, finish this line. And I said space, and I put two blanks, you know, just to make it look a little better. I put space blank blank frontier. She recited the whole thing, the whole intro, all the way front to back. I said, wow, you know that pretty good. She said, Brian, I watch Star Trek every day, all the time. You know that. We sat down and watched it all the time together. I said, yeah, well, have a listen to this, because now it's always been and not the. And she said, you know, it's getting really late. I'm tired. I got to go to bed. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Good night. I love you.
No, it's seriously becoming like
hit a brick wall, boom. Thing
where, like, even the chat right now is 50-50. They're saying the, and some are saying So,
and some people get pretty riled up over this one. I mean, this is like blasphemy. Oh,
people are mad.
But R doesn't even make sense.
No,
Brian, because how can it be a final frontier if it's if it's final? It's the last frontier. It's the only one. It's the. It's not. How can it be a final one? Like, there's not multiple finals. This one final. And maybe it's talking about space, which is the final.
Maybe there can be multiple finals. Maybe we're in the final stages of this reality and moving into another final eventually.
Yeah, man, it's insane.
The people want to hear it again. Everyone wants to hear it again. I'll play it one more time. Okay.
Go ahead. We'll shut up. Go ahead.
Final frontier. Space. Final frontier.
It's
Man, it's
the. It's
the. I just heard
Yeah,
I heard it.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
The final frontier.
Now I heard
Because that's what it was before, Corey. God.
It's changing on me every second.
No, you Canadians. Oh, you're all dead.
Canadians chilling for the Mandela effect.
Believe me, Canadians would know A from A.
You
know
what?
You should
know. Talking about A. But we're talking about the from the, not A from A.
Exactly. A from the.
Key, tell them what we're talking about.
Fail. Corey, go in your pyramid pool in your yard, Dad. Go ahead.
No, my igloo melted.
Corey, go sit in the corner and face the wall.
No, my igloo melted. My igloo melted. Now I have to live.
Your pyramid pool. The pool that you put together that somehow came shaped like a pyramid.
My poor dog, my dog sled, they don't have a job now. There's no snow.
It happens, yeah.
God. Hey, Nathaniel, what do you got for us?
Well, you know what? I actually have, I mean, there's been so many effects. I feel there's been like a deluge recently. But there's one that just popped up before I got onto the show. I had some other things prepared, but this one kind of hit me. You know, like some, the other, there's like a point of contention. It's split 50-50. But this one, I'm like 100% positive. I'm remembering one way, and it's so, okay, guys, to set the stage, how many of you remember Robin Williams played Peter Pan and Hook in 92, 93, something like that? It was a Steven Spielberg film. He played an older Peter Pan. He grew up. He was a bit colder. He forgot his sprightly fairy ways.
90s. So
I remember that film. Yeah.
All right. So if you can think back to that film, when he was older, he was no longer Peter Pan. He had a name. I'm going to leave it blank just to kind of throw it out to the audience, or rather, you know, to the peanut gallery here. He was called Peter Blank. Any of you remember Hook? What his adult name was?
Peter Banning, right?
So you remember Banning?
Banning, yeah, it was Banning.
Let's give the chat a chance to answer. I'm curious.
Yeah, please do.
Banning.
A lot of Bannings coming up.
See a panning in the chat. Panning, two pannings in a row in the chat.
Yep.
B and P.
We got two pannings of the last two I see. Another panning, P with the P. Oh, that's Brian. Brian, you don't count. Just kidding. Now we got a banning.
Hey guys, Cynthia Sue is with us. Hey, Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi. Hi, Cynthia. Welcome.
Hey, Cynthia. What's up?
Welcome back.
Welcome.
It's good to be back. Good to see you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's great to finally be able to talk to you. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're kind of got the Back to the Future theme going tonight.
You see it?
Well, I'm still curious. What's the verdict? Right. I don't even know what yours. I know that I say panning.
Yeah,
Peter Panning is what it was for me. And I saw that show too many times because my kids were at the right age.
Okay.
And same here. My memory is Peter Panning. It's like Peter Pan with an ING. He's a little older now. So it was a shock to discover that, in fact, if you look on his IMDb stub, Robin Williams plays the role of Peter Banning. Now, within the context of Peter Pan, that sounds a little bit of a stretch to me. Now, I'm just going to grab the screen here, if I can do that.
Yeah.
Here we are. Cool. So I'm just going to jump right in. You know, people remember Hook. Robin Williams as Peter Panning, a.k.a. Yep. Peter Pan, but all grown up. Now we're going to hop onto the IMDb stub, and amazingly, Robin Williams plays a role, Peter Banning, right? I haven't had much time to find residuals for this one, but they do exist. This is a little notice about Steven Spielberg striking again. He's going to be playing, or strikes again with an adult Peter Panning, trying to remember his childhood with the Lost Boys and Wendy, right? Super Nintendo had, actually there was a number of like adaptations of the movie for like all the systems at the time, but if you dig into them, the music score, and also in the instruction books, he's known as Peter Panning, right?
Oh, there you go, yeah.
So let me get this straight. You're saying officially, it's in this reality timeline we happen to be in, it's always been Banning?
It's always been Banning, right? Does that not just blow your mind?
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's so sad. We're so kind of, I want to say, like, jaded. Not jaded. Like, reality shifting around us, and we're to the point when reality shifts, we're kind of, like, blasé. And there's only a few that still kind of kick me in the nards, and this is one of them.
Nards. That's cute.
So here, this is interesting. This is somebody who prepared a little Hook Prezi presentation. I'm not going to blow it up to large screen, but like Peter Panning is a high power attorney who has little time for his family. Panning, once again, is conveyed as an absent father, right? And it just goes on and on about Panning's children are kidnapped. Grandma Wendy reminds Panning of his former identity, Peter Pan. So
and the shift doesn't make any sense. Why would it be Banning? Why would they even do that?
It's like all the Mandela effects. If we talked the way the Mandela effect has us talk and we quoted things the way it were and sing songs the way they are now, we're going to sound retarded.
I swear to God, we all got vertigo or something. Like we're like walking around and we're not – we don't have any balance or anything because everything changes so fast, right?
I agree. Oh, hello. Hey, Meeks.
Oh, what's up, guys?
Hey, Meeks.
Oh. How's it going?
What's up?
How's it going, Yay! Cynthia? Is she on still?
Yeah, it's great. I'm doing great.
Oh, good. Hi, good. What's up, guys? Wow, we got an all-star panel tonight. Look at this.
Yeah, I know, right? Does anyone have any questions for Cynthia Sue Larson? I know Cynthia Sue Larson is probably questioning who all we are, right?
Go down the line and introduce everyone
Okay, let me go one by one. Okay, we got Brian Stavely, who does his own radio show. And what's it called, Brian? You want to tell the audience?
Dose of Reality Radio, therealnewsonline.com.
There you go. We have Gloria. What's up, Gloria?
Hi.
Guy Fox.
Hello.
Meigs. Everybody knows Meigs pretty much for the most part.
What's up?
Practically every week. We got Nathaniel.
Hello, pleasure.
He's into residue hunting as well. Mm-hmm. And plays a big part in our group. And Corey as well. So, yeah, that's everybody. And we got Teresa. Teresa, are you there?
Yep, I'm here in the ether.
Okay. I got everybody.
Teresa, I didn't know you were a big TV star. Oh, my gosh.
I never told anybody about that. It was kind of a hush-hush thing. Yeah, I was the quirky neighbor. And
if
you need an audience out there, I remember a show back in 2008 called Akita and Callie. It was a show filmed in Las Vegas about two girls starting their life over. The show only lasted probably 8, maybe 9 episodes. And I was a kind of like a strange neighbor lady on the second show, which was called Legends in the Making. Yep, basically winged the part. I didn't have the script. And no, I didn't get paid for doing it either. But for a couple years after that, I had people come up and ask me for autographs and pictures and everything. And it was kind of cool being a star.
That is so cool, man. I want your autograph.
That was awesome, Teresa.
Yeah, we got people in the chat saying that they have questions for Cynthia.
Okay. You want to bring it to Cynthia's attention, Corey? I'll be right back.
No, there's no actual question yet, but they want to do it. You know what I mean?
I'll start with one. All right.
Brian ask before you ask your question, can Cynthia just introduce herself to everybody in the chat in case?
Hi there. I'm Cynthia Sue Larson. I've got a degree in physics, and I've been researching what I was calling reality shifts for the last 20 years with my website, realityshifters.com. And I've written books about the phenomenon. I think most importantly, been tracking firsthand reports from around the world of people noticing what we're now calling Mandela effects going back into the 1990s. So I think this is kind of exciting because now, thanks to the internet, thanks to people searching for reality residue like you guys, we've got a bigger growing body of evidence to really convince more people that something real is happening and it's not just a few crazy people who got confused and forgot where their keys are or something. So.
That's the best analogy right there.
I watched that. Did you see that where they were mocking us on the news?
No!
What? No, because they took everybody's opinions about it, and it seems like they just mocked us. If I can find that clip, I'll present it to everyone, okay?
When did that come out?
It was sometime either early this year or late last year, I believe. I uploaded the video.
I think I remember that, actually.
Yeah, we're still in a pretty small percent.
But let me ask you something. Why is it, Cynthia, that no matter who you ask on the street, everyone always says Berenstain Bears, and it's always been Berenstain, apparently, in this reality.
And then they get the update.
That's kind of leading into the question I was going to ask you, Cynthia.
That's a good one. I'm glad that that's having such a big impact here in the United States of America. I'm not sure it's that big a phenomenon worldwide, but it certainly is in America, North America, continent, and I'm glad for it because there's still a lot of denial. You're right. Everybody that I know hears it, and almost without exception, you remember Berenstain Bears? It just creates that momentary disconnect where they have trouble. The majority of people don't want to acknowledge that there could be an alternate history, that something bizarre could be happening. So it's easier for them to just ignore it. But the reason it's happening to so many people, I think it's because we're at a tipping point. I think that there's no more, we can't waste any more time with what I believe is a global awakening of consciousness. And that's basically my story.
When you talk about consciousness, I just got one more question and I'll pass it off to someone else.
Brian, can you wait 1 second? Meeks, can you mute out because we hear water?
Oh, I'm so sorry, guys.
Yeah, we're having a hard time hearing what she's saying. Thanks.
I'm so sorry. Thanks for telling me.
Thanks, Meeks. Thank you, Glo.
Thank you.
Okay, so we had a dilemma and we resolved it. Or is it dilemma?
Which dilemma, one? Yeah.
Dilemma. That's dilemma. A big one for me. That's like my favorite one. If we're going to spell a word wrong and we're all going to do it in unison, are we really all going to put a silent N where it doesn't belong? I mean, come on. The most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, out of all the words, like, you're going to put a silent letter where it doesn't belong and we're just all going to do it and we're just all crazy.
You know what, Brian? I'm from New York, so we put letters, like, all over the place that don't belong there. So you can't go by me, you know?
No, but you and everybody you know wouldn't put a silent N in a word where it doesn't belong.
Yeah. Cynthia, is it okay if I post your YouTube channel in the chat?
Yeah, please. Yeah, great. That would be great. Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Yes, got a question. Probably my last question for a little bit. I'll open it up to everyone else. We talk about consciousness, and I remember watching your video one time. I guess you were being interviewed by someone else, and Ms. Cynthia, and you said basically Mandela effects resolve, or they live in the periphery of our consciousness, basically. And how does that deal with the? I mean, how is it with the Mandela effect? I mean, do you think it's mocking us? Actually, that was a two-part question. I'm sorry. I get anxious, dealing with a physicist here and everything. So my question is, you talk about Mandela effects being in the periphery of our consciousness, and you talk a great deal on that. Can you explain about that, maybe?
Sure. Well, when it comes to the first time people start noticing this phenomenon, it's easier for something to change that you're not staring directly at, that your attention is not fixed completely on. And this gets into something which is known as the quantum Zeno effect, which is very much like the watched pot never boils. This is literally true when you get into quantum physics, and it's possible to lock a quantum state into a particular state of being just by constantly observing it, just observing, 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 almost like you're an obsessive compulsive disorder person. Or they're going to be using this for quantum computers to lock a state into a certain, to lock a certain state in. And it's going to be something that can be useful. So in order to witness something changing, you need to not be staring at it quite that much at that exact moment. It's really important to kind of look away for a moment. And I play with the Mandela effect. I play with reality shifts. If I'm missing something in my kitchen and I need it, for example, I've actually had things come into my cupboard that I know weren't there. But part of the game of it is just shutting the cupboard door, opening it again, checking, shutting it, walking around the room, coming back, opening it, looking again. So you can actually play with this stuff.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true.
Okay. I got one question for Cynthia, basically just for where I come from. It's what we all are kind of part of, is what the community is. What do you think about empathic people? Like, what... Like, I don't know much about quantum things and stuff like that, but I'm a very hearted person, and that's where my gift comes from. What do you think about that?
That's a good question.
Well, that gets right to my heart, because I'm an empath. I've always been an empath too, and so I'm kind of like a quantum mystic person myself. And I think it's super important to be an empath, because it gives you the ability to have a permeable sense of self-identity, so that you're actually feeling things outside of your physical body. You're able to feel the environment around you. You're able to feel animals, plants, energies, all of that. And yes. you're able yes. Yeah. And then you're able to connect with it and be part of something bigger than your own small physical embodied self. And when you do that, you get phenomenal types of reality shifts also. And I think you're more sensitive in general, so you're more likely to see these Mandela effects as well.
And it could be overwhelming too, to be that sensitive, because I'm like that. I could pick up everybody's energy. And sometimes it's just so overwhelming, you know?
Exactly.
Catch yourself from
I have a question.
My son calls me a science experiment. He doesn't call me an impact. He calls me a science experiment.
Cynthia. Yeah.
Yes.
I think our consciousness is maybe even more connected with each other in our dream state. And I think our lucid dreams and the Mandela effect are tied together. And I wanted to know what you thought about that.
Yeah, that's a great point. I've noticed it. Tremendous flexibility. I've noticed that in certain states, exceptional state, human states of awareness, such as lucid dreaming, also near-death experience, and also certain states of meditation, it's getting into that theta state of vibratory awareness, which feels like you're living in a waking dream. In those states of consciousness, I find it a lot easier to move from one reality into another.
Do you think that, you know, it's crazy that I might have a theory that even our awake state and our dream state might be completely flipped of what we perceive to be reality and being asleep?
Yeah, that's not crazy. That's something that goes back to ancient ways of thinking in India, where they believed that everything is like a dream within a dream. And so this has been proposed before. And I don't think it's crazy at all. I think our true consciousness, our greatest ability to make changes in the physical world comes through in that dreamlike state.
Yeah, and I'll just say one more thing and I'll pass the mic. I just want to say I have noticed, because I have asked people specifically that a Mandela affected, if their lucid dreams have been increasing or becoming more severe. And many, many, a very high percentage of people all said yes and all had a story. So I think it's definitely tied in. Because we're all more aware too, you know?
Yeah. Right.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oops. Hi, Cynthia. This is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Hey. I have a question for you. You were talking about that you're an empath. I am as well, and you were saying something about that you see things happen more quickly, and Brian can be a witness to that. I wanted to get your answer on some of us Mandela-affected people are watching things change in real time. I've observed many times things morphing in front of me, like letters actually moving together. I've watched my residue changed and letters disappear, letters pop in. Still pictures, I'm not talking about moving pictures, I'm talking about a still looking picture on the computer changing. I've watched my logos change, like I've literally watched Danish cookies, the letters come together and merge. I'm observing a lot of things in real time, and I want to know how that's possible, because it just totally blows my mind, and I want to know why some people see things change in real time while others don't, and how that affects the Mandela effect as well.
That's a good, yeah, I don't know exactly the answer, but I know for myself that the more open-minded I am, the more likely I am to see things appear out of thin air. Like, I've literally seen things appear out of thin air, like I was painting a picture of a woman once. It was like a picture of her energy field, and I told her she had a crystalline quality to her heart. And as I'm painting it, a crystal fell right where I was painting her heart. And that's not the only thing that's manifested out of thin air around me. So, you know, and that's, I'm just mentioning that because that's a spectacular case. I've had a carton of milk land in the refrigerator. I was standing outside of my refrigerator wishing that I had milk, and I could hear something go thump inside of the refrigerator. I opened the refrigerator, and there's milk in there, and I heard it when it landed. Yeah.
Wow.
But I see, and I think what happens is the more open-minded you are, like all of us together right now, we're reinforcing this for each other. We're telling each other, basically, this is happening. It's real. It's not just your imagination. And I think the more that your subconscious relaxes and becomes aware that this is possible, you can totally see these things real time.
Yeah, Cynthia, I got a question from the chat from Harley Quinn.
Thank you, Cynthia.
She's asking, why do you think some are awake and others are not? Do you think that everyone will eventually be awake?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. I think it's kind of like a bell curve. And so I don't know if we'll ever see everyone awake. I would love that. I would totally love that. But I'm not sure we're all going to see that. Probably there's going to be a whole bunch of us that are the front runners. And then there's going to be, then eventually they'll stop mocking us. And I would expect what they're going to say is, you know, the stuff that they used to be called Mandela effect, we count on it now to run our quantum computers. That's how our artificial intelligence works. We're going to start hearing like this has always been normal and no one ever made fun of us at all.
I have a question.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a question. Hey,
you're in the house.
Yeah. Hey, Cynthia. You know, I was doing a lot of studying the last 6 months and now I can't get off the steam. Like I call a faith-based reality. And I pulled a lot of things together, like, for example, what Jesus said in the Bible, if you believe and receive it, you know, you'll have it. Also, I noticed that in the quantum gravity research, they have like 7 clues of what reality is. And they say consciousness affects reality because the observer effect. And not only that, this whole reality is working off of quantum mechanics. And it's like the outer framework and classical physics works within it. That's the reason why speed of light has a certain limit of, you know, how many miles per second, where in quantum mechanics, quantum entanglement, there is no distance. It's instantaneous. Same with time as well. But what I was saying is it's totally, everything's totally driven by the observer effect. In other words, if your simple fact of being aware of it, it heightens or increases it where you actually have more of it. And where what we call energy, matter, gravity, or whatever, it's all information. And just because we're aware of it, we're actually make these things happen. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you're right on track with the power of the observer. And the part that tends to get skipped over is the identity of the observer. And that's pivotal. And that's going to play a large role in everything because the reason it matters so much is because if you take an example, you probably heard of Schrodinger's cat. That's
right.
The hypothetical cat that's trapped in a box. And it's with a vial of poison and there's some radioactive material that can decay at some random rate. Nobody knows what's going on. But when that decay happens, then the vial of poison is broken and the cat is dead. And so you don't know if the cat's alive or dead unless you look. And then as soon as you look, then it locks the cat in one of those states. But really what's going on is it only locks the cat in that state with that particular observer.
And if exactly.
So if that cat is dead to that first observer, but a second observer decides they love that cat and that cat, there's no way that cat can be dead. You can actually have an observer observing the first set of observers because what happens is you get an entangled mechanism. And so even the observer can be entangled with the whole apparatus. And so your identity as an observer and the fact that you are empaths, the fact that you're able to expand your sense of self beyond your body and take a step back and be aware that you are more than your thoughts, more than your feelings, more than your physical body, it gives you the ability to actually steer this whole spaceship Earth. And I think that's what Jesus Christ was talking about. I mean, he didn't use those physics terms, but absolutely.
We actually create our own reality, basically.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And being together, or when we're agreeing on something, focusing, and that it's that intent, that focus. Like I was watching, studying Tom Campbell about the virtual reality, My Big Toe, and reading all into that. And, you know, when you think about, like, I work on computers and stuff, and, you know, everything kind of works just like a computer as far as the nuts and bolts and mechanics of it. Because if you look at a hard drive, it's like a human body. It has mass and everything. But the software, which kind of has no way, you know, it's more like a human mind and stuff, or actually your consciousness. And that's a thing that is the real thing of the universe and everything else. We're like playing little avatars, and we all have, we're like all different users and playing one grand video game. So like, for example, Teresa, she saw Fruit Loops change from FRUIT to FOOT back in February. But the year before, I've seen it, it was already switched over to to the OOT. So basically, even in time, quantum mechanics, retrocausality, all time exists all the time. Right. What do you think about that?
The other thing that can happen is you can have a situation where you're with a friend at the same exact place, the same exact time, and one of you says something, and just seconds or minutes later, you'll have a complete disagreement about what just happened and what that person said. I've witnessed this as well. And so this is what I mean by little pockets of reality can happen. Yeah.
Well, Nathaniel, you have a question, right, for Larson? Yeah.
I did. Hey, well, you know, we've been talking a lot, like, we know the Mandela effects are happening. There's a lot of things shifting. But has there been any thought as to the impetus or kind of what the catalyst is? Like, I know, I mean, it's natural to kind of look in your environment to figure out if what might be, like, kind of driving some of these shifts. Some correlations I've been sort of noticing, and I want to maybe get your, like, a professional's opinion on. I've been looking at the Schumann resonance, right, which is kind of the background low-frequency noise. Usually it's around 7.83 hertz, I think, with some overbands like around 12.3 and what have you. I've noticed sometimes when the shifts happen, there are big spikes in the Schumann resonance. Suddenly you're getting a lot of activity in the 40 hertz, right, in the gamma, like the thetas. Is there, do you know, maybe if that's necessarily true, or,
Tom, can you mute out, please? Tom?
Yeah?
Can you mute out, please? Because I think you're driving, right? Is that you driving?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you mute out? Because I can't hear what Nathaniel's saying.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, so essentially, are you ever aware of any, like, external catalyst as to what might be causing us to shift, be it Schumann resonance or another thing I was looking at is the equinox solstice. I've noticed that there seems to be some correlation between sort of celestial events and sometimes experiencing like big shifts. I'll turn that over to you. I know it's kind of an open-ended, but maybe you.
Yeah, those are good questions. I tend to, my personal bias is that I tend to believe everything essentially is consciousness at its core. Mm-hmm. But when I look for causes, I tend to look for causes within consciousness. But having said that, I also would grant you that there definitely are some amazing correlations happening, exactly like what you're talking about with the Schumann resonance with planetary motions, because, and I don't know what that means exactly, but obviously there's something to it. So mm-hmm. I'm just agreeing with you.
Okay, fair enough. I thought maybe, yeah.
I don't have anything to add to it, except that there's probably further information. If you look at some of the indigenous peoples of the earth, such as the Mayan civilization and most of the First Nations people, you know, the Indians and so forth, they actually had a lot of prophecy and stories explaining that there would be times of great transition. Mm-hmm. They often talk about things that match the Bible. They talk about a great flood. So there's a lot of overlap there, and I think that's interesting. And there were a lot of people studying celestial patterns, and I think that is part of it. So there was an expectation that at a certain point in human history, we would get to a place where our technology and our hubris, our pride, would get in our own way, and we'd be facing the impact of what we had done and our own creations. And so this, you can see this in a lot of different ancient literature. And I think that's interesting too. So,
Guy, do you have a question? Yeah. I'm sorry.
Sure. I know we talk a lot about what is real and what kind of things impact the reality around us. And even this reality that we think we're in is questionable if that's a good term, because I have a feeling that there's a greater reality outside of us, that there's, that this reality is contingent on something bigger. Mm-hmm. And so I was on that debate just this week with some people who are very vehemently against the Mandela effect and belief in it. And as I was speaking with them, that it's the debate with Wendy Mitchell. And in that debate, I kept coming up with a person who, for every idea or suggestion that this used to be this way, like Cynthia, do you remember Stouffer's?
Yes.
Stovetop. Yes. Okay. So that one blows my mind. They've never been the stovetop stuffing people now. And what happens is for this person who's debating me, she would go into one example after another saying, yes, I've always known it as that for 50 years. And I would show people around me that it's not that way. And they would get mad at me for pointing it out that their memory was wrong and my memory was right. And on every single topic, she would say that as proof that the Mandela effect is wrong and that we all have bad memories. And I really did get the sense that she was just exaggerating and saying this and flat out lying in order to make her argument sound good. And I can't prove that, but it just seemed like on every single angle, Stouffer's or anything that I suggested, she just went with, no, it's never been that. And I've always known that since I was 5 years old, but literally saying she was reading the King James Bible when she was 5 years old and remembered that God had breasts. And I said, my gosh, I was reading Spot Ran, you know, or something. I was not reading the Daddy, please hand me the King James Bible so I can start memorizing, you know? So my point was that I swear in this day and age, and I was always a very skeptical person before this started, and I don't need any convincing that this is real. I know it's real. I've experienced it over and over and over. But I also knew that if I was going to share my testimony of what I experienced on YouTube back in December of 2016, I first started relaying my experiences. I also knew that it was critical that we move forward with absolute 100% honesty, that when we exaggerate the truth, we are violating a moral code. If this world is a simulation, honesty is part of the code. And when we break the code, we break something that hurts ourselves, it hurts our souls, it hurts our environment, it hurts our reality. And along with morality, speaking honestly, not gossiping, not hating, not grudging, releasing forgiveness, all of these moral things that we have written in our heart that we know is true, that following that guide is the key to changing our reality in many ways. It's just something I've discovered. And I was just wondering if you had any take on the moral side of this, because we hear a lot about the I totally get the observer effect. I think that's been tested over and over. I saw the water experiments and I see there's something there. The placebo effect is proof that something's going on. And I get all those completely. But on the moral side, I also feel, and I also would say that I feel an interplay with, you know, whether you call it God or a spirit or something outside of this reality, I feel that interplay. I've had the conversations, actually. So I need to be fully truthful. I've had the conversations, and I've also seen the enemies of that. You know, there's kind of a dark side out there that's kind of working on the other side. And I've experienced that interplay. And this has come from a person that would have totally laughed at this before I experienced it all. I would have totally been skeptical. I would have said it's a joke. I even remember, what's that guy, Goldman, with the quantum jumping thing. I said, oh yeah, what a great scam. You can scam anybody out of money with that line. I used to say that. And here I am now saying that I've experienced reality changing right before my eyes. And it is different. But the morality piece or the moral code that's written into the world is something I've picked up on. And I don't know if you've seen anything like that or have that experience.
Yes, I'm a huge believer in it. And you started off, this all ties together with what you first said, that you felt like we're part of something bigger. I totally agree with that too. And to me, God is real. To me, this is not just a simulation. Because, and I've had people write to me asking if this is a computer simulation, and people say that it is. You know, people like Seth Lloyd at MIT, a lot of brilliant scientists believe that this is a simulation. But to me, they're just latching onto our highest level capability of putting something together that humans can build, and then saying that's what reality is. And to me, that's completely ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense. Because we humans have very limited everything. We have limited sensory capability. We have limited ability to see the visual spectrum, to hear the auditory range. All of our senses are very narrow, and we can't even think with all of our consciousness. We're very small things. And therefore, that's why the morality matters so much. And when I've had people write to me and say, if this is a simulation, what's the cheat code, Cynthia? And what I told them is what you're telling me. I told them, well, you're not going to like this. First of all, I don't think it's a simulation. But if it is, here's the cheat code. You need to be ethical. You need to be moral. You need to be caring. You need to be honest. You need to do all the things that make you a good person. Because I absolutely, it gets back into believing that the observer changes things, and who are we? And if we identify with that which we cannot agree with and that which we would not wish to be part of, which is, you know, the negative side, then we're creating horrible, and we can't do that.
I feel you, though, because as far as having limited understanding, there's sometimes that I feel like I am a mouse in a laboratory experiment, and I can only see the maze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm
kind of in the opposite side, where maybe it's my surroundings and stuff, but like with the whole simulation thing, like it could be true, but I mean, I go out and I guess I'm, like she was saying about the sensory thing, like I feed the birds, I see the birds chirping, I smell the grass, I see the trees. And maybe it's all just, you know, fake, but I mean, it's real life to me, so.
I want to say something, too.
Our simulation, how do we feel emotion? I don't understand that. You know, I just can't wrap my head around how I feel emotion. And pain and joy, sadness, and all this stuff. If we're a simulation, and I don't see the proof for it. People want to say it's quantum computers doing it to us, and this and that. And I always ask, based on what? How are quantum computers manipulating reality? And I never get an answer. I just get people that seem to just say that.
Well, I got to say, it's like when you swing back to, like, you know, the morals and all that stuff. Where it all roots out is you have to walk in the agape of God, the unconditional love of God. And even when Jesus says, if you forgive, you're forgiven. And you have to walk in the grace of God. In other words, to forgive, to be positive, to be thankful in all things. Because, yeah, I read that book, The Secret by Bynes, and that had a lot of truth to it. And it just seems like that if you really want to be really, I guess, would be powerful in a sense, not controlling matter or whatever, but to walk in that freedom and that total divine peace that you have, that God wants you just to walk, to accept yourself, to love other people, and love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and then love people just as you would love yourself. But the key is to forgive and not to get upset or get caught up in the resonance of people's negativity and all the evil and all that stuff, but you want to focus the observer effect on the good things, the noble, the good report, and that'll shift you up to a higher vibration, of higher level of reality of consciousness, to focus on those things, and that shift your reality.
Yeah, that's a good segue, because Harley Quinn had a question for Cynthia, and she said, how extreme do you think the shifts will go, and how quickly?
Okay. You mean on a personal level or global?
It was very vague. I don't know what that's what she had wrote. So it was in the chat. So I don't know
Well, individual results can vary quite a bit. And I love this discussion, the segue that you're mentioning, because indeed, when you feel that love, that acceptance, that state of gratitude, when I feel that and I go into a kind of a theta state and I'm really tuning into that divine connection with God and just feeling that within my heart, my whole being, that I'm just so grateful to know this experience with nature, with love, with God, that there's no greater gift than just this moment. That's when I get reality shifts and Mandela effects that are off the charts. And it's just being in that blissed out state. It's being an empty vessel. There's no ego. My ego is gone. I'm not trying to do what I thought I was doing. I've given up on that. I'm not trying to change anyone. I'm just letting them go. And I'm just loving people the way they are, me the way I am, this moment the way it is. I'm not trying to change it. And sometimes it happens when I've hit a point of complete frustration, you know, where I just feel like I can't change this. This is beyond me. Yeah, but then the most amazing things happen. Yeah.
It's so hard because of the super ego that we're, you know, it tries to take control of our mind, right? And like you said, we're looking for tranquility and for peace, right?
Yes.
But I look at it this way, too. I think that the Mandela effect is a personal thing, too. Okay?
Yeah.
You're going to experience things, like she said, with me, too, when I'm vibrating at a positive, you know, and not just making it up, really grateful for everything and stuff like that. I start to notice personal Mandela effects go crazy. Completely crazy. But I do think it's a personal thing, because at one point I was like, you know, I want to wake everybody up and they need to wake up. And then I said to myself, you know what? I need to do this for myself. I need to wake myself up, because I really feel like it is a personal thing and everybody's experiencing different things at different times. And we're all going our own paths. Does that make sense? You know, we're all shifting at different times and depending on where you are, where your vibration is.
I think that's true. And yeah. Then collectively we actually are a very social creature too. So we're very connected with one another. And like this community right now, the fact that we're talking about this, the fact that we're sharing honestly how we really feel about it, we're gaining a degree of coherence with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually brightens all of us and it makes all of us more influential. You know, regardless what other people think about it, even with all of the mockery and so forth and disbelief for whatever reason, but people are just coming to this at their own rate of speed. I think it's kind of inevitable. I think this is so obvious when I look at science. And if you read my books like Quantum Jumps, the reason it gets so much into the science is because I know people like this. I don't know this Wendy that you were mentioning earlier, but I sure know the person. I know that type of person, and everything you tell them, it's like, no, I remember it the other way since I was 3. Like, really? Okay. but that's the reason I like to go to science and talk about things like photosynthesis, talk about instantaneous mutations mm-hmm. of microbes on a petri dish where they instantaneously can just evolve in one generation to be able to digest the material that's on that petri dish. And the odds of that happening.
Lipton did that experience with the petri dish.
Yeah.
Love him. He's awesome. Cynthia, can you mention your book and where people can find it and all that?
It's called Quantum Jumps, and it's on my website if you want it autographed, realityshifters.com. But you can also find it at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. They have it too, ebook, paperback, and audiobook.
There's another good question in the chat that somebody had. They wanted to know, Cynthia, what you thought of Michael Talbot and the Holographic Universe.
I love that book. It's like, oh my gosh. I love Michael Talbot, he's not alive right now, but he was a physicist, and he wrote a book based on the holographic interpretation of quantum physics. And what makes it such a powerful book, number one, he's an experiencer. So he's not just a physicist. He's also a person who's had remarkable experiences throughout his life, including reality shifts. And the first time I saw the phrase reality shifting was actually in his book, the Holographic Universe. And it's a beautifully written book. It describes this interpretation of the entire world being connected. Just like if you want to massage some part of your body that you can't reach, you can get the equivalent effect he describes in his book by just massaging your ear. Mm-hmm. And because of the way the body is set up, he's got a picture in the book that shows a little baby upside down and how it maps onto your ear. You can do the same thing with your foot or massage your hand. And our bodies are set up holographically. It's like a little fractal network within ourselves, connecting us to everything else.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I ask one more question?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've always had a theory that, you know, chemtrails weren't to poison us. And then, you know, as I started looking into NASA and other things in like 2012, I kind of believe that they're there to mask certain things in the sky. But now, since getting deeper and deeper into the Mandela effect, do you think the stuff that whatever is being done in the sky, do you think that that might be to block us from making the connections that we're making with our consciousness in some way?
Well, I don't really know what's going on with the chemtrails. Probably it was, I don't know, because I don't have any inside information whatsoever. So now I'm just speculating, but probably they were trying to affect the weather. And it's kind of a foolish way to do that, because it's introducing contaminants to the environment that we don't need. And that combined with electromagnetic fields are very destructive to our empathic abilities and our ability to shift reality, and it does impact our consciousness negatively. So not a big fan of any of that.
No, I wouldn't think so. I don't think anybody here is a fan of that. Thank you.
I have a question, another one. Can I ask, please?
Go ahead.
Have you noticed, Cynthia, having the Mandela effect, I seem to have a lot of synchronicities, and Brian can witness that, and also experience a lot of deja vu. Have you experienced any deja vu or any synchronicities? They're just really bizarre.
Yeah. Well, to me, synchronicity is another form of reality shift in a way, because it's it feels like living a waking dream, and it gets back into what we talked about. Someone asked the question about lucid dreaming. And to me, Mandela effect, reality shift, that is living like a waking lucid dream. And it gets back into that whole thing of the dream and the wake is states are flip-flopped. And I think you see a lot of synchronicities when you recognize that you're kind of walking with feet in more than one world, and you're aware, you start getting aware of the fact that, like, I'm moving between universes, and you start feeling it. And then these synchronicities can just go off the chart. And like you said, the deja vu also.
Gosh. I have them every day, right, Brian?
Yeah. Yeah, every day, it seems.
You can witness that one. Like, I'll be talking to him about something. He's like, how do you know that? Like, I was talking about Kit Kats yesterday, and all of a sudden everybody's eating Kit Kats. I have no way of knowing that. And I'm just, like, posting things in the group. And it's just weird. Just things come up my every day when I go out or I'm home. And it's like somehow it's linking up with Gloria or linking up with Brian. And it's like it freaks them out, because they're like, how did you know? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just something that came up in my mind.
Yeah.
With that Kit Kat, it was funny. I have to back that up, because when they were talking about it, I was standing in line in a Wawa store staring right in front of the Kit Kat bars, like right at that moment they were talking about. That's how I'm saying. It was just a synchronicity.
I bought some the other day too.
It's crazy.
Brian S got the munchies there. He wants something good to eat right now, I'm sure.
Oh, I could go for some Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I off chop real quick. I muted my mic. I was styling, dude.
You guys didn't even know. I was about shouting. The time speeding up. I think it's getting worse. What do you think about that, Cynthia? About time speeding up? Because it's no longer 24 hours in a day.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah, well, I think that it's part of the awareness. And when you're paying a lot of attention to things, time can do really strange things. Like sometimes you might notice like a whole year vanished out from under you. I don't know if anyone here has had that one yet. That's really freaky, where you just suddenly realize like
I think I should remember last year, but I don't. Mm-hmm. And it's not because you're doing too many drugs or something. It's just like, what happened? Like, I think I fast forwarded here. I don't do drugs. I mean, I don't need drugs. I think most of us here don't need drugs, right?
No, people think we're on drugs.
Yeah. We talk about it, but.
That's not required to experience. In fact, I think it gets in the way because I like to be certain of what's happening. And yeah. So I pay more attention. And I think when you're paying all that attention, then time can really speed up for some reason.
That's a good question. I've never done a drug, but a lot of people believe in what they call wisdom plants to help them get into the, the world.
But we don't need that. I tend to
notice in the communities that I'm in, like, such a high percentage of the people smoke marijuana. I think it actually does help open your mind a little bit.
And your heart. I'm going to say a lot of people who smoke weed tend to kind of be – I feel it in my heart. So I don't know. We've been noticing a correlation, even informally, like asking just in various forums. There tends to be a lot of people who experience it who are like INFP or INJP, if we're looking at the Myers-Briggs like personality types, which is is amazing because technically I think they're supposed to represent 1% of the population, yet almost everybody entirely in the group is like this, either an extroverted or a mm-hmm. introverted empath of sorts, right? Going back to weed, I mean, I'm from Canada. It's something that we do recreationally, and it's going to be legalized soon, apparently. But I can definitely feel my, a thrumming in the heart. I agree with the whole...
I have to tell you something. It's funny that the lady who did my taxes, her name was AI. I'm dead serious.
Okay.
And AI in Japanese, guess what it means? Indigo.
Interesting.
Wow.
No way.
I have to say this real quick because it is a big thing. Ralph just donated $50 to your channel. So thank you, Ralph.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Raleigh. Hey, Ralph. Thanks, Raleigh.
Nice. Awesome.
Or Raleigh, yeah, sorry.
Wow, awesome, Raleigh. Wow. That was nice.
And God bless you. Thank you.
Conversation. Yeah.
Cynthia, back when you first started doing this, right, like I know you started in like 99 and you were writing publications and stuff. And I know that you said before that you had, pulled people in other countries and stuff like that. But like how did you find, besides when you were just pulling people, how did you find new Mandela effects? Was it all just like personal ones in your life? Because obviously there weren't a whole bunch like popping up on YouTube and Reddit, and there weren't a ton of people talking about it since you were so early to the scene. So how did you keep seeing things change? Was it only personal things, or did you see things in media and books and movies and geography and anatomy? Did you see those type of things, and when did that start for you?
Well, some of the first things that showed up, that's a great question, were the ones that I was tracking. They were personal, and I was sharing them on my website. I put together my first book, Reality Shifts, and I included the story about Larry Hagman being alive again. He's dead again now, but back in the late 90s, it was a big shock that he was alive when I and it turned out a lot of people remembered Larry Hagman had died. It's not a big deal now because it's so, it's 20 years later. But that was kind of a small big deal back then. But the internet has changed so much. There was no Reddit. There was no Facebook. And this is like 20 years ago. So all we had was I started my little newsletter and started all the issues are right there on my website. So you can actually read through them. And take a look at the first stories that came through. And those were firsthand reports. And the reason I felt that was so important partly was to start noticing if there were patterns. And hopefully what I was noticing is as soon as I talked about the phenomenon, not everybody, but maybe 1 in 5 people would acknowledge that they had seen something appear, disappear, transform, or transport, or they'd experienced a change in time. And those were the ways that I was tracking, at the beginning, these personal Mandela effects that I was calling reality shifts. And I still use the term reality shift, but It was just about impossible to do the kind of reality residue work that you guys are doing now because there was no way to do it.
Yeah, so hard to share.
Yeah.
So hard. Have you come across, like, I know that you did a lot of interviews and stuff, and you know, you've done your books and everything, and I've seen you, you know, do different video interviews with people. Have you come across any type of opposition along the way? And if so, besides people just being against the Mandela effect, like any type of, like, organized opposition to what you were doing?
Not that I know of. I have had some very vociferous individual opposition. And some people said I should stop using the word quantum, you know, very negative remarks. But what I do is I respond with love and I hear people out. I listen deeper. Like, what's your real point? What are you really saying? And the more listening I do, usually what happens is they soften and they say, well, I don't agree with you, but you seem like a nice person. I think you're just really confused, you know, so we agree to disagree. But I haven't had organized opposition, knock wood, because I really feel that what we're witnessing is something that's incontrovertible. To me, it's really obvious. In every field of science that I look in, I see evidence of quantum jumps. I see evidence of discontinuities. You can look at the fossil record, and there's no smooth process where what used to be the origin of the horse very gradually turned into a horse. Instead, you see a series of missing links, and that's pretty much true. Yeah.
Do you think that the changes have been happening all the time, but just more and more people are beginning to become aware of it? So these Mandela effect isn't a new thing. It's just the only thing new is us realizing it.
That is exactly what I believe. Yes. And I think that the timing is really critical because of what's happening in our world right now, that it's important for some of us to be aware of this. I'm sincerely telling you that when a group of us, like right now, gathers together, we collectively are actually, in my opinion, more powerful than pretty much anything else you're talking about. So this is amazing. Yeah. It's extraordinary. And I believe we've got the future of the world just by coming together like we are. And thank you for bringing this.
You know how you said we're, like, more powerful when we're together? I believe that because, like, on some nights, and I know we talked about this on past shows before, it seems like a whole bunch of Mandelas will hit in one day and people call me. And then it just seems like our energy is feeding off each other. And I don't know if that's making more residue manifest or more changes happening, but it feels like there's something happening that we're our energy, whatever that is, if it's our consciousness, which I believe it is, or if it's some other form of energy, frequency, you know, a combination of the two, whatever, I believe it's feeding and it's kind of multiplying. And the whole process is multiplying and it's snowballing right now as we go. So this whole awakening, we don't need to get 100% of people awake. We just need to get to the tipping point.
That's exactly right. Yeah, totally agree. High five.
I got a question from the chat from Pramil. He's asking, what are the main geographic changes that stand out in particular for you?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's one I haven't closely tracked too much, but the one around Australia seems a bit weird with New Zealand. That one stands out to me. Personally, that one's just weird, but we could go around and talk about what everyone, you know, is noticing because that hasn't been my strongest suit, but I think that one's pretty weird.
Yeah,
I think the thing that is really weird lately, and I don't know if anybody else is experiencing this, going to sleep at night is just, I don't know. I'm dead tired to go to sleep. I wake up in an hour and I'm ready to go. I don't sleep anymore and I've completely lost my appetite. Food doesn't taste the same. Has anybody else been experiencing that?
Yeah.
No, I've been experiencing something crazy with my body though. People think I'm nuts, but I feel over the last like several months, maybe closer to a year, but the last several months, I've become like left-handed. I know that sounds ridiculous, but just think for a minute. Our organs have moved in our body, the rib cage, the eye sockets, all these changes. I just seem to be using my left hand more and more, and to the point now where I'm doing almost everything with it. It's really weird. I don't know if anybody experienced that. I just want to put it out there. Call me crazy, whatever.
That's interesting, Brian.
Well, what I noticed too is like I've been having less appetite to a certain degree, and I've been like sleeping less. I mean, not like an hour. I'll get like about 5 hours sleep at night and an hour nap in the afternoon. I'm good to go.
Really tired in the daytime. Like I could sleep all day, but at night I'm just up. Like it feels like somebody changed night and day. That's how it feels.
Yeah. No, it's like you hear the birds at like 2:30 in the morning, you know, like it's retarded.
Yeah. The sleeping. And then when you eat, you're hungry, but food just doesn't taste the same. Or I'll go the whole day and go, oh wow, I totally forgot to eat today. Like I just, the appetite's just not there. It's not that important.
Yeah. I personally don't, oops. I've noticed that my diet's changed. I mean, I've gone, like full vegetarian, but not just that, but I've been like dropping, I used to drink coffee all the time. I'm a graphic designer and it's just like something you do. And I've just was able to give up coffee, like cold turkey, which is something I've never done in my life. I've gotten rid of sugar, a whole lot of things that I've just kind of felt the drive to get rid of them. And I don't know if there's a correlation. Once again, I tend to see a lot of shifts. So I feel like I'm kind of purifying my body in some ways, like dropping a lot of old habits.
That's what it feels like, yeah.
No, Nathaniel, I totally agree with you where I'm like a sugar ant, like in my old life. And now I feel like I'm just like, I don't drink pop anymore. I'm just like trying to cut off the sugars, the, like you said, like, I mean, I still eat protein quite a bit because I want to keep my muscle mass up there, but my belly's still full, you know, like I got a gut, you know, but
do you crave, Corey, are you craving more liquids? Cause I'm craving more liquids and greens, like even to juice. I like to juice.
Oh, I've been eating raw kale every single day. I love it.
Yeah, lots of live greens. I think that's important too. I have a feeling like whatever happens, like the fluoridation process in the water, we were talking about like our chemtrails suppressing like these abilities. I always feel whenever the government or anybody does something kind of benevolently, like let's just install fluoride for everybody, right? Like, and it's minimal, like, you know, you're improving your teeth. It's like, oh, well, you know, do we really need that? I'm living out in the middle of the forest. We have, what do you got, like groundwater. It's a well. And I've noticed like just drinking really great water, I don't know if I've had an awakening because of that, but eating live greens to me is a way of getting that water that's alive as opposed to being inert or dead. I've been eating a lot of salad.
Yeah. Well, that fluoride, it'll calcify your pineal gland and cause it to be more dead too.
I don't know if I believe that, Tom. I think that's, I don't know, but Nathaniel, you have a question. I just posted in the chat. Can you answer that for Damien?
You were asking, am I noticing changes? Well, it's strange, right? Because they say that, like when you look at type, it's sort of an undiscovered country. Like you can.
There's so many different fonts, right?
Sorry?
Right.
There's so many different fonts and stuff out now that, like, you know what I mean? Like you can't really.
Well, absolutely. And it's amazing how much detail you can actually like sink so much time to study typography. As a designer, I mean, I was a creative director for a lot of large companies and stuff. It's sort of my job to know brands, and it's uncanny being able to see so many changes from, I mean, like we've all seen Ford, like a lot of the major car brands change. It blows my mind because here's the thing. With always of mind that like when I'm presenting things to clients, there's one way that's going to be sort of the ultimate, like this is it, this is what we have to go with. And if we choose like option B, your company will just fail. You know, and I've noticed that, like let's say the Volkswagen logo, the whole gap in the W and V, I would look at it and I would send it back to the designer and say like, it needs a few more rounds of revisions. The gap will create problems when you scale it down. If you don't like balance it optically, you're going to get like, you won't even see the gap. You know, like to me, it's just not a very good design, but seeing that I'm living now in this reality where this design to me is like subpar, but it doesn't seem to have affected Volkswagen sales, Volkswagen's popularity, as far as I know. Right. There's another very popular in the UK, one of the biggest, or at least the most applauded, marketing push was for Heinz. There was a big, in the 70s, they came up with the slogan, Heinz means beans. And they just celebrated their 50th anniversary recently. In 2003, the ad agency that put it together got a big award, and I remember them getting this award for the Heinz means beans. Apparently, it's the most effective slogan. I mean, over here in North America, we don't hear it as often. What's crazy is in the fall, it changed to beans means Heinz. And as somebody who's a creative director, if I prepare strategies, the beans means Heinz, I could see so many problems with that. They celebrated the 50th anniversary, and you could see I saw where the problems were. They had this wall where, like, they were trying to expand, like, what Heinz means to other people. So if you have the Heinz means beans, you could also say Heinz means cups, Heinz means love, Heinz means, you know, you could do all these other things. But unfortunately, they were stuck saying beans means mom, beans means, and you're getting away from the brand. But I'm living in this world where it's the flip side to this very applauded slogan, but it doesn't seem to have affected Heinz. So I've become a little more relaxed in some ways. I don't think there is one ultimate solution anymore, which is kind of fun. I'm looser and not so rigid with my designs or presenting options to the client, because I've seen the underworld version to so many different things that was so very familiar with. Like, I used to hand draw the old 1960s Volkswagen's like ads, just kind of get a sense of space. And I would like draw the logo and stuff, and to see it differently now, it's just like, it just blows my mind. Right. Definitely. I'm noticing a lot of changes. People say in lettering and spacing, like, definitely. At the same time, I think because people are picking up a lot of things and analyzing them closely for the first time, I think some things that people are noticing aren't necessarily Mandela effects, because I can remember at one time when I was a little more greener, I had a hard time differentiating between, say, a sans typeface and a serif typeface, right? Like, and now when I look at it, I'm not just can identify what's a sans or a serif, but I'm like, is it a transitional serif? Is it like, you know, and you go into such detail because there's about 500 years of history as far as typefaces are concerned. I'm seeing so much stuff. It's
okay. I got a Canadian question here from Dave. He said that Metro Canada has a dash, and he said he saw it within an hour. When it happened, and that is so far in the you can barely see it anymore. Does it make sense or even have it in the logo? I don't know if you noticed that or not. I didn't
personally. What has a dash?
Petro Canada.
Oh,
yeah.
Petro Canada. Oh, yeah, that's got a really weird dash, right? Like, to me, that looks like an unresolved, like, they've got to go back to the drawing boards and think that up. That looks very strange. I definitely noticed that. One thing has been brought up to me within when Cynthia was chatting. It's an invention that was made in Toronto, but everybody's played with it as a kid. It was called an Etch-a-Sketch. You know the Etch-a-Sketch, right? When I grew up, I mean, I had an Etch-a-Sketch. It was Etch-a-Sketch. If you go check it out now, like, look at on a wiki stub. Yeah, look at that. Etch-a-Sketch doesn't have hyphens anymore. That's crazy. Born to my eyes.
Wrong. That's crazy.
That's wrong, right? Yeah?
Yeah, that's wrong to me, man. It was Etch-a-Sketch with the hyphens in there.
Yeah, so that's
the hyphens, like, they bounce around. How they hyphenated Beavis and Butthead? Butthead has a hyphen now? Like, that's crazy, man. It looks ridiculous. And Brian brought up ET does now, too, right? Extraterrestrial has a hyphen between the extra and terrestrial.
Yeah.
He brought that up.
I think Therese was trying to get a question in because she just texted me. I don't know if she's still out there,
guys. I wanted to point out something while we're waiting on Therese, I guess, for the question. Etch-a-Sketch, did you notice the K looks weird? I don't remember the K looking like that.
Here, I'm going to take a look. Let me see.
You want to present?
Etch-a-sketch. Interesting. Yeah, that looks a little weird. Do I want to present? Yeah, sure. I just wanted to present for a sec. Let me grab that. Sure.
You know what else looks weird? The Godfather. Look at the Godfather DVD or Blu-ray case. It looks weird.
Well, here, I wanted to just present this because while you guys are chatting, I'm looking up residuals here. This is the guy who apparently invented the Etch-a-Sketch, but throughout this article, it is Etch-a-Sketch. Even the headline to the Not Twisting Artist Creates Fragile Masterpieces, we've got Etch-a-Sketch. So we're doing live residual hunting, but we're going to jump down to the, here, Etch-a-Sketch. We're going to go to the wiki page, and sadly, it's Etch space a sketch. And people will say, well, what's the big deal? It's just, you know, hyphens gone. But here's the thing, right? Like, reality, as far as I've been taught reality, it wasn't supposed to change, right? It never changed. Any kind of change, no matter how minuscule, is huge. And the fact that we have like thousands of these changes being documented, I know on Reddit, there's one guy who pretty much spends all his time compiling these lists. And we just surpassed 6,000 documented Mandela effects since, like, I guess, like a year or two, right? And those are just, I mean, I'm just one person out of like 8 billion people on the earth. I can only know what I know. And I know I don't know a lot of things. It's a thin slice. And if I'm seeing two or three changes a day, are things accelerating? Well, I don't know. But it definitely seems to me that the changes are almost getting stranger because they're no longer just occasionally like questions of like a homonym, like spelling differences. Not like, for instance, like we were going back to the opening of the show with Hook, right? Peter Banning, it's like an entirely different pronunciation. Or let's say with the Monopoly. I grew up with Monopoly. I loved Monopoly. As a kid, it was Rich Uncle Moneybags, 100%. I remember the Rich Uncle Moneybags. The damn yep. uncle who's missing his monocle, he's Rich Uncle Pennybags now, right? And it's not even, it's an entirely yeah. different word. Like, come on. Yeah, I'm going to drop out of presentation mode, but yeah. Etch-a-Sketch. Crazy stuff.
I don't know what to do.
There's residue that Teresa sent me. I can share it with you guys.
That's the residue hunter in the West. Nathaniel.
You guys are both great. I tell you, you know, residue hunter is not easy. Here's residue of the dashes in Etch-a-Sketch. Cynthia sent me something saying she remembers it too, 100%. You know, I knew Etch-a-Sketch with the hyphens too.
Can you present it? What I just put on, can you present it?
Yeah, I'll share it. Yeah. Is this what you guys are sort of remembering right here? Etch-a-Sketch with the dashes?
Right.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what happened to Skechers, right? They took the T out.
Don't even get me started on that one.
Oh, yeah, the old T's missing there.
Started. That was my wake-up one, Cynthia, the Skechers.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian.
It's for the most part, like, I would think that people, like, say people like Sally Fields and people that have, like, the Joel Olstein, like, their name changes and stuff, I think they're oblivious to it. Obviously, like, how are they going to go around and their names just change and they realize it? I think they're oblivious to it. But there are a couple people that, there's something funny going on, like with Sinbad. I'm sure you know the story about Sinbad and how he came out with the fake residue clip from the Shazam movie, and it was kind of just a mockery of the Mandela effect. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that, no. So he was he's trying to respond to the whole thing in some way. And
Yeah, they were questioning him about the movie Shazam, which no longer exists, you know, and he was a genie in it. And he literally, somebody put him up to it, or whatever. He put out a video that he filmed to mimic a scene in a genie movie. He dressed up in a full genie thing, and he had some kids in there acting out like a scene, and they laid out things like a Berenstain Bears book, like different residue, like to mock us. And then several weeks later or whatever, came out and said it was just a joke. And I felt that was done purposely to make people run with it as residue for Shazam. And I was just wondering what you thought about that, if you thought there are some people that, for whatever reason,
would do something like that. And I didn't know you hadn't heard of it. I was going to ask you who you would thought would put them up to something like that.
Well, I don't know if anyone put them up to it or if he'd, you know, there is a lot of opposition to Mandela Effect, because just like there is to anything that comes along, and it sounds ludicrous. And right now, what I really believe is happening is that we're awakening to awareness of quantum consciousness and the fact that this is the way that the world actually operates. All of our branches of science are quantum. And so we're going to see mockery. We're going to see being made fun of. And, you know, it's happening. So that's kind of predictable. I don't think that's that newsworthy. It's unfortunate. I'm sad that that happened, but it's understandable.
Yeah, I had a question real quick, guys. I hope you don't mind. Okay. We talk about the Mr. Smith effect or the Mr. Smith paradox. And Tom goes into a lengthy conversation about that. And have you ever experienced this where you're talking to somebody about the Mandela effect and they just completely change the subject altogether after, after they see the real proof? You know, you show them the 100%, you show them the Teresa Gold proof, and then they change the subject.
I had a personal experience where I was telling my friend about Risky Business, Tom Cruise, you know, dancing with the sunglasses. He goes, "Oh yeah, I remember that. He had the sunglasses and everything." Yeah. And then when I showed him, the YouTube video of him not having the sunglasses, he all of a sudden said, "Oh yeah, he never had the sunglasses. That was just doing that cover and stuff." Totally negated everything he adamantly believed just before I showed him the video. It seemed like when I showed him that YouTube clip, he saw he got like a download and just reformatted to that mode.
Well, we actually are conditioned, you know, someone said earlier that we're conditioned to believe that history never changes. And that's a lot of what we're dealing with right now, you know, because that's a huge societal belief that the moving finger writes and having writ moves on, nor all your piety nor wit can change a single line, you know, that whole thing. I never liked that poem, but you know, it's basically saying that once something is written in time, you can't change it. And now we know for sure that we know that's not true. You know, that's not
true. Yeah, but they have that paradigm belief that that's the reason why a lot of people see these changes, but they will never come to the grip that reality itself could change at the drop of a hat. Once they have that paradigm in their head, they can't change that.
Yes,
they could show them all the effects.
Yeah, it's kind of scary. You know, it is scary. It can be terrifying.
Yeah, it's like really, it's like embedded in our conscious, the subconscious that, oh no, you know, like for example, my wife, she spells Skechers with a T in it, but she thinks of Mandela stuff as a bunch of crap. I show all these things with the Braggs, and everybody calls it Braggs, but it's Bragg. But they have this mindset, they just don't. They don't examine it. They don't look at it. They just figure, oh, it's some whacked out thing. You know, it's crazy. It's right. Like we're the ones who are sane. I believe we are more awake, more aware, more sane, more sound minded than people who just stick their head to the ground like an ostrich.
Yeah, and I'll go further and say that we're going to be the mainstream. You know, just give it another 50, 100 years, and everyone's going to be on board with what we're talking about now.
Right.
It'll be part of school. But
it's like
right
we're pioneers.
Now, we're on the bleeding edge right now. So
right.
We're leading the way for the indigo children, the indigo generation. We're making it easy for them.
That's leading right.
So we'll take the reputation of being crazy.
Well, that's just it. They always said the Rainbow Warriors, right? Like the Hopi prophecy of like these people who'd come and start speaking truths, but a lot of the population would kind of like poo-poo on their like observations and stuff. So I guess we really are being brave and speaking our truths. As somebody who's a graphic designer, I do a lot of remote work. And I've sort of turned over my Twitter feed into like just posting Mandela Effect stuff. And to me, it's almost like I was scared to do it because it could be like career suicide, right? Because anybody who comes to check to see how, I don't know, how sane I am, a lot of it, if I'd asked myself like even 5 years ago, like, you know, what I'm believing now is so at odds with like what we had thought, like that reality, I guess we assumed reality was a democracy, right? But people obviously having a hardly individuated sort of experience of reality. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with this, but yeah. it's brave. We are the rainbow wearers. We are the ones kind of, I think, and it's good too, because the more we speak our truths, I'm sure there's a lot of other people who, it's like, who's going to cast the first stone, right? We're starting the avalanche. Cynthia, you say in like 50, 100 years, I don't know. I almost feel like if we're at the tipping point, it's like an exponential curve, right? Like I'm thinking even sooner. I don't know. I can't imagine.
I've been in it for 20. So that's just for your background. You know, I've been in it for 20. And so I'm just looking at where we are, where I started. And I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And I also see, I talked to scientists. I did actually tell one scientist that in my reality, he did not exist at the time I was writing my book, Quantum Jumps. And now he's a theoretical physicist, so he took it really well. And people have told me that I didn't used to exist for them. And some of them had been time travel researchers. Some of them, like three of them, contacted me within a one-month period back about 8 years ago or so. And they all told me independently of each other, and you know, that you did not exist, and I would have known for sure because this is my field. I study this for the U.S. government or whatever, and that's basically what I was telling a theoretical physicist, Yasunori Nomura. But and those are really trippy when that happens, because it's almost like a person came into being in your world that wasn't there before, and so that's another phenomenal kind of Mandela effect on a personal scale. But it's really cool when it happens.
I have to say that I'm glad that you're very patient with us, because a lot of us are awakened in 2016 mostly. That's where it really hit. And for you to be going through this for that long, kudos to you. Like, I mean, I don't know if I could do 20 years of that. So.
Well, you're probably going to do 20 years of it, Corey, now. So.
No, I know. I know. But,
but wait, I find that
time, interesting, buddy.
With Cynthia, if you didn't exist in his timeline and somebody didn't exist in your timeline, so then that kind of throws out the multiverse out the window, or more than one of us, wouldn't it?
What it really does is it brings us to the question we never look at, which is, who am I? And it's like the unexamined question. It's the assumption we make, like, well, I know who I am. But the truth about our identity is that it's changing all the time. And the more you study it, the more you get into meditation, then you start realizing that you actually are the observer of your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. You're the observer of your feelings. Right. And you're not your feelings. You're the observer of your physical body and so forth.
Right. Actually, I don't ask myself anymore, who am I? I ask myself, what am I?
Yeah, pretty much nobody asks, who am I? Who am I? Nobody looks at it. Nobody takes a look at it. It's ignored. That's what I mean by it's such a huge assumption. And right. I think there's it's like a gold mine. When you look into that question, mm-hmm. that's where the treasure is. I mean, that's the key.
Deep. That right. is really deep. That's right. true.
Because I believe in reincarnation. So for me to say, who am I? I wouldn't possibly be able to answer that, because I've been many things. So I ask myself, what am I? And I've searched on that my whole life. What am I? You know?
You know, I had a question too about, you know, how they say parallel universes, parallel dimensions and all that. Like a lot of people think that there's like infinite amount of you, me and all that, or consciousness playing this out in a different version of reality. But the way I see it is more like quantum mechanics, where everything could be a potential. Like you could be here, you could be there, you could be a different color dress or whatever. Like all those things exist. But since we're here and we're observing what we're at right now, the collapsed wave of probability, we have one outcome right for the moment, although it could change with the Mandela effect. But I don't believe that there are infinite number of our consciousness living in another realm. I believe we're just only operating in this one collapse probability. Does that make sense? That's the reason why, like in string theory, they can't really find any answers to that.
String theory is dead.
Tom. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly. And the reason why I'm saying that, because this one research company in California called Quantum Gravity Research, they kind of proved, they took like the E8 lattice. It's an eight dimensional crystal, and they've broken it down mathematically where they say it's a pixelated reality, conscious affects it, and they say the golden ratios and everything. And a couple other things I can't remember off the top of my head. Oh, yeah, about time being all the time and all that. But that seems to me be more the truth than just the string theory. String theory just has no predictions, where quantum gravity research, they say everything is information.
I mean you can, like, I'm not a quantum guy where I can talk about that all day, but I mean, I'm a history buff guy, and
back to earlier, you're like, I'm not like a quantum guy.
Yeah, no, but I mean, if you look back at history and what they accomplished back then, like, I mean, how, like, did we progress then, and then all of a sudden something happened and we were shut down? You know, like, you always have to wonder what happened, right? Like, because we were progressing back then, like way back in Egyptian time, like even the pyramids and stuff, right? And now we're just, you know, like, if you look at from maybe the 80s on, like, how fast has the computers been coming out, like, and how fast it's progressed, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's been an exponential shift in technological growth, and at the same time as the computer age has exploded, and we now have so much technology. We've got the internet, we've got, like you said, these amazing breakthroughs in terms of viewing the universe in terms of information. But some of the most ancient cultures on Earth recognize, like you say, that there have been tremendous periods of great technology that have been before this one. And most of the indigenous peoples on the planet believe that the world has ended several times. And it's not the end of the world when the world ends, because it kind of goes through these patterns. And that's what the Mayans talk about, and the Hopi talk about that we're in the fifth world and there will be seven of them and so forth. And I think what they're talking about is that periodically humans develop a technology to a level that I was mentioning earlier. We just, our pride gets a little bit too big, and we think we know what we're doing, and we get ourselves in trouble in various ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, it happens.
You have something to say, Brian S?
No, other than I wanted to bring up something that I'm pretty sure Cynthia agrees on, and I know a lot of us do, and just for the audience out there, when you brought up the Mayans and stuff like that, that, you know, they never, it wasn't really about predicting the end of the world. It was about predicting, like, a change of times, a great awakening, and, like, the word apocalypse just gets so trashed with all, you know, absolute nonsense of, like, all these movies about the end of the world and everything. So if you go to research what they were actually talking about, it's very hard to probably come to the truth with all the layers that are put over it. Would you agree with that or no?
Yeah, I've got a multi-layered view of it. So I've got, like, a quantum view of things, which means it's not, like, true or false, but it's kind of embracing of many possibilities. We were talking earlier about, do all these possibilities exist? And I believe that to the degree we embody them with our imagination, and gets back to that, who do you think you are, whether you're through many past lives, many possible realities, which realities do you care about? Which ones are you embodying yourself in and through your imagination? This stuff really matters, is what I believe. So it's possible for people to experience no problem whatsoever, that there will not be an apocalypse. I believe that's true. For some people, I think they actually quite well, maybe they will experience some kind of actual calamity of some sort, because that's what these indigenous peoples talk about, is the Great Flood, which kind of matches. It sounds a lot like the Bible flood, actually. Mm-hmm. And that's really interesting. And they talk about technology where humans were flying around on shields, where they were, it sounds like they were bombing each other, you know, in past times on Earth. We haven't really seen much evidence of that, but I think it's interesting. So I don't know. But what I'm getting to, the greatest technology of all is what we are talking about tonight.
Yes.
This show, this topic, this is the technology. I mean, this is the key to everything right here.
The connection, right?
Like, absolutely, because it gives, yeah, right? And it really matters about what we put our attention on, how we view
the focus.
Yeah,
the focus, the intent. Yeah, that's what I come to see the last month is it comes down just to your consciousness, your desire, your intent, and what you dwell on. I mean, you see people in a natural having goals, and you know they manifest after a while. You know, they set goals. Without a vision, people perish, you know.
Yeah.
Nathaniel put something up in the group chat. I don't know if you wanted to talk about it or Nathaniel.
Muted. Nathaniel, you're muted.
I'm muted. I stepped away for a sec. My wife is
Okay. Sorry.
And I'm kind of seeing her to sleep, helping her to go to bed. Sorry, what was the question, though?
No, you put something in the group chat. I just wondered if you wanted to share it or whatever.
Well, you know what? I'll be back. Put that thought on hold.
Okay.
I have a Mandela for you guys.
Right on.
Okay. This one comes from Ernesto, who's in Teresa's group. Okay, who remembers Cowboys versus Aliens, or is it Cowboys and Aliens, the movie?
I remember Versus.
Okay. I remember Versus, too. Look at this.
Yes, now it's And.
What? Cowboys Aliens.
Versus.
Bitchakapine Residue.
Yeah, now it's Cowboys and Aliens.
How about War for the Planet of the Apes? It used to be War of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, wow.
War of the Worlds.
Oh, War of the Worlds is now the War of the Worlds.
Yeah, that's, I saw that in my book.
Look at this logo, guys. You guys know I pay attention to logos. Godfather. Look at the Godfather. The T and the H merge, and the half T over here, and the half F. The G's touching the D, pretty much.
The G and the D looks really off.
Oh, I mean that is one of my top five movies of all time, and it didn't look like that.
No, it did not look like that. So another one, Teresa told me about the Church of the Poison Mind. It used to be Church of a Poison Mind.
Yeah, now it's
Church of the Poison Mind now by Culture Club.
Okay. We have another.
Is it an Emmy? Do you guys remember this song?
Church on.
No, I don't. No.
I do, but I don't. I don't remember.
If there's resident. Hey, Brian, can you mute that? Can you mute that?
Hey, Brian. Brian.
Yes.
I found the movie. It says Cowboys and Aliens. But below it, it says Cowboys vs. Aliens. It's like it's contradicting itself.
Yeah, do you have that? Do you have that so I can share it?
It's contradicting itself.
You have that, Teresa, so I can share it?
Yeah, check this out. It literally contradicted itself. That's weird.
Apparently, there's another Emmy that was shared in Teresa's group. 1940s Baby Seats. What's the deal with that?
What's the deal with that?
Oh my goodness, look at these baby seats. Kids from the 40s.
They're made out of wood.
I was like, what the heck?
Yeah. Is that right?
That's funny.
Hey, we got Bluebeard. Hey, Bluebeard.
Hey, Bluebeard.
Oh, that is so bizarre.
Yeah, these kid seats from the 40s.
Oh my God.
Something just wanted me to look it up, and I was like, I wonder if they had car seats back then. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, that is weird.
Oh man!
Yeah, I could see that being real safe, right? Looks like
It's like the electric strapped
over the top of the seat, dude. Jeez.
That's just really crazy.
Oh my God! Like,
okay,
Gloria, it's an obvious jinx.
Again, with the Mandela effect, we have terrible engineering. It's like the jet engines that are like
extended out in front of the wings, and it's like everything else that keeps getting redesigned. You got baby seats strapped over the top of the freaking cars, man. It's out of control, man.
But at least they had them. When I was growing up, we didn't have them. You sat on your mother's lap, or maybe she threw you in the trunk.
I'd feel safe in the back of my mother's pickup truck, even with my fucking crazy mother driving, that I wouldn't sit in that car seat.
And I said, oh, I need a sensor.
Cowboys versus aliens.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you, Bluebeard. What's going on, man?
I've been playing with computers trying to get it working, mate.
Mine crashed on me twice so far tonight. That was weird.
Yeah. Oh, mate, I'll tell you now, I reckon they got hacks in all their computers.
Did you have any questions for Cynthia while we got her here with us?
I wanted to know, does she have similar problems that all the beards go through, pretty much, i.e. with the experiences, i.e. being taken either before or during a shift?
Again, I'm not clear on the question. Can you repeat that or clarify?
I'm also an abductee. All the beards are abductees. And pretty much nearly every time we experience something where we feel that we're being physically shifted, we hear people in our house and everything, and one day you'll wake up and you're in a different reality and it just constantly changing. And it's just an ongoing process. But in the process, we also feel that we are seeing, we think it's a dream, but we know it's not a dream. You could call it a lucid dream, but it's as if we're in a room with other people and we're all waiting for something to happen, and it quite often happens. And I was just wondering, do you experience these kind of things? Hang on, I've got to yell at your dogs. Get down now.
You mean with extraterrestrials? Is that what you're getting at? Or
yes.
Okay. Well, I have in the past had quite a few ET experiences, which I've never talked about, but I'm going to start talking more about it. And frankly, I've kept it more at arm's length. My involvement was it's kind of interesting. It's strange. There's a lot of strange stuff. But so I haven't had exactly the experience you're talking about, but I'll tell you what I have had. My most recent extensive ET experience was in the 1980s when I was working at Citibank. I was a project manager. I got an MBA degree, and so I was, working 10-hour days by day. I'd come home exhausted. I just want to go to bed. I'd do some nighttime gardening because I was never home when it was sunshine, this crazy life like that. Finally get to sleep. I didn't have any children, but I was married at the time. And during a certain period of time, when I did not know about abductions, didn't really know about any of this stuff. But what started happening was I had these dreams at night, and I felt exhausted because I would, as soon as I fell asleep, it's like I woke up into another reality. And the first thing that happened is I was basically given like a job test to, they wanted me to pick out some sort of a cabbage, and it was a strange kind of an interview, but I chose the cabbage based on its energy. And then they just said, come with us. And I got inscripted into what they called the Global Mind Redesign Project. But I was kind of terrified because I was on quality assurance for this project, and I'm dealing with aliens. I'm basically going to look at their ideas of how the human mind can be redesigned, and it's my job to give the bad news of this design sucks to basically an alien race that is not very friendly. I'm just being frank. They're kind of terrifying, and I was freaked out. I would wake up just freaked out and exhausted every day. And I didn't want to believe it was happening. So but I've never talked about this before, but I feel like the time is right. And when I came out of that project, they basically thanked me. And then periodically I would sometimes see, kind of like with my third eye vision, I could see ETs. Usually the grays one of them would be at, I told them, keep away from me. I don't want It's already hard enough what I'm doing in my life. I don't need this. You know, when everybody agrees that this is happening, sure, then I'll agree that I'll talk about it too. But otherwise, it's going to freak people out. And then when I started working with reality shifts, what's now known as Mandela effects, I really didn't want extra baggage associated because this gets mocked enough as it is. And, you know, it's like a double whammy if you say, like, okay, I've seen ETs and I believe reality shifts. It's like, oh, great. But now I feel like it's important because, well, there are a number of reasons. You know, I think that we're seeing that, like, the Blink 182 guy came out, and now more and more people are coming out of the U.S. military and acknowledging absolutely something's been going on. And I don't have knowledge, personal knowledge of all of that, but I do have personal knowledge of a lot of other things that I was involved with. And so, yeah, but I don't know if that probably didn't answer your question, but I'm just saying, I would believe that what you're saying is real.
It answers my question fully. It's as if they're putting you through a test when they do. And it's constant with me. Every time I shift, I experience it. I go through it.
So you're saying every time you go through an ET experience, you experience a reality shift?
Yeah, or every single time.
Wow. And how extreme are the shifts? Like, what kind of shifts are you noticing?
Well, with me, pretty much finding out Trump was president, that was the biggest experience for me. Jumping into realities constantly where family's alive and are dead, but sort of, that's another one, friends that are enemies and enemies that are friends, and you're just constantly going through it. And I think Glow's trying to say something there.
Well, my general take on this is don't mess with us like that. So, you know, I'm a very strong, I guess I have a warrior spirit. I'm very peaceful, but I really believe that it's not okay to mess around with people and just create trivial tests that are traumatic for us. I think that's very negative. That's my opinion of it. So, and I'm very forthcoming, even with the ETs, even when they're very terrifying looking and they're fighting with each other. And I don't care about that. I just tell them, like, look, this is not right. And don't mess with us. So,
well, personally, I think it's a combination between CERN and them together. I believe they're the ones that actually gave CERN the technology. Somehow I believe they're using CERN. And it's just like the stuff that I've seen across the verse, like my shifts compared to some of the other beards haven't been as extreme. I'd mainly experience family differences that are fairly major, and my missing children, going from different numbers of children and different orders of the children. Get down now, Emerald. And just yelling at my dog. And the whole point is, for me, compared to the others, some of the others have experienced some horrific things. I've watched their videos. But the only thing that kept us awake and kept us realizing that it was an actual shift between realities was our journals. And they are a good help. Well, our videos are also a journal as well. So it's the only thing that helped me out in this reality because of the fact that the journals were stolen in this reality, but the video journals weren't, because they're in the cloud virtually. And but the whole point is with it is we're constantly going through it, but the experiences that we get, I'll give you an example of the last one I had a week ago when I wound up in this reality. And it was pretty much, I was in a room, there were five beds in the room, and there was a ladder in the room. We had to go up the ladder to get into the next room. There are another five beds. And again, it was as if we were in a spaceship that had room after room after room, and there were different people in every room. Everybody as if like dumbfounded and waiting. No one could work out what was going on. And these are the sort of things that we experience.
You know, Cynthia, do you think that there's a link between UFO sightings and experiences? Because me and Corey did a survey, like a poll on the group, just to see who had UFO encounters and stuff like that, that were, you know, also Mandela affected. And we had a really high amount of people, including myself, that's had UFO experiences. I mean, I have them on video, me and my son and stuff, and since I was a little girl. But we noticed that like a majority of people in the group said yes. So I'm wondering if there's a link between that.
That's a good question, and it's quite possible. One thing I noticed when I was researching the Hopi Indians, and they were talking about we're in the fifth world, and they're, you know, they talk about these endings of the worlds. In that same mythology, they also talk about the ant people. They talk about following a cloud by day and some sort of moving lights by night. And so it really sounds like they're talking about ETs. And not only that, when I've been to the Pacific, you know, to the Southwest, I was on some native land, and I actually saw some petroglyph carvings that one hand is a human hand and the other hand is definitely an alien hand carving on the rock. And it's very ancient. So, and when I say alien, I mean, it's got really long elongated fingers with sort of triangular configuration, not cylindrical, like our fingers are kind of sort of circular and smooth. This is very pointy kind of triangle fingers. It feels weird when you can put your hand in that print, but it feels weird. So, yeah, I think there is a connection. And I think when you look at the fact that right around the time in the 1940s when the atom bomb was going off, there was a huge, huge uptick in the number of UFO sightings. So I think that there's an active force for, you could think of it as an awakening of consciousness for the humankind by concerned extraterrestrial entities, but you can think of them also as our brothers and sisters in the universe, perhaps, and who are concerned for us. And so it kind of makes sense when you realize that humans are now at a sort of a tipping point in terms of the danger of our technologies to destroy our world and mess with our water supply and our air and blow ourselves up and all these things. Obviously, you know, we need to get some help.
Yeah,
so you, I think there is a connection.
You see them as like watchers, right? Like they're watching out for what we're doing with our world, right? Is that what you're saying?
My experience with this global mind redesign was an extremely active presence and a number of concerned entities that it's kind of like a dysfunctional family is what it reminded me of, looking at these different alien races, and they weren't really getting along. I'd never heard about any of this, and I hadn't read books on it. To me, this would be like a horror story, and I don't like horror. but over the years and the decades, I've come to look back on that and realize that wasn't such a bad thing. You know, I was drawn into a project to take a look at the way the human mind could be more empathetic, could be more more common, not exactly like a hive mind, but sort of psychically, telepathically more interconnected.
Yes, but and that's where I think where we're getting at, right?
That's what happened in the 1980s. And I was part of that team. I was quality assurance. I was basically the go, no go. And I was saying, like, this is not going to work. No human is going to want to have a mind like this. They'll go crazy. Get rid of it. You know, bad design.
This is so awesome that you're saying this, because this happened to me as a kid and it still happens to me. I have these weird, it's not a dream because I know I'm not sleeping, but I'm sitting there and I'm talking to these beings and they're telling me how everything works. And I'm like, no, you can't change it this way. And I understand everything that they're saying. They're showing me numbers. They're showing me how the human mind works. And I'm like, no, we can't do that. And they're like, we could do this and just change the reality a little. And I'm not sleeping. I'm up. My eyes are closed and I'm experiencing this. It happens so much, but it started when I was about 4 years old and I didn't know what it was because I didn't know what UFOs were. I had no clue and I would see them all the time, but I didn't know what it was until I was like maybe 14. Never heard of, you know, UFOs, but I am so glad you said this because it happens a lot to me.
Yeah, Clay, do what I do. Grab them by the wrist. It scares the living shit out of them.
No, they're not. They don't scare me. They're not trying. No. I know them. It's like I can't explain it. I'm sitting there and I know them. You know, they're
they're familiar to me. Every one of them, even though like I don't remember what they look like, their presence, I just know every one of them.
No, like Gloria's saying, like I had one fly over my car, and my dad was in another car right behind me, and there was another fella, like we didn't know who he was, you know, just a stranger, and he floated over the top of my car for at least a minute, and then all of a sudden he like went into hyperspeed. It's something that the military wouldn't be able to come up with. Like it was impossible. He just zoomed right, you know, boom, he was gone, and we all pulled off to the side of the road, and even the stranger pulled off, and he's like, oh my god, did you see that, right? So, I mean, that was my big UFO moment. And
you're a fireman, Corey. Well, you were a fireman. I mean, these are credible people. We're not crazy. These things happen. We just never really said anything.
Yeah.
You know? But I think there is a connection. At first, I thought there was maybe a connection with maybe we died because we all experienced something around that time. But I've been awake since, like I said, about 4 years old. So I don't know if that's it, but I think that the UFO thing has something to do with it.
I think they've got a great deal to do with it. I really do. And I also believe that they're the ones giving CERN this technology.
Well, I wouldn't give CERN that much credit, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't think it's CERN at all. I just
don't think so.
Science gets much credit, and they love to play God. They love to let they can do stuff like that, and they found the God particle and all this. It's complete nonsense.
Well, when you're feeling ill and you're feeling the headaches and the tinnitus in your ears, check out Vistar's website. You'll be shocked. You'll see that the actual levels are at sky-high levels. Whenever I get sick or the tinnitus in my ears, I check out Vistar's, and I guarantee you it's at anywhere above 7.
Well, who's putting out those levels? Who's putting out that information?
That's their actual website. I'll put the link for you in the chat. I've just got to call it up.
There's a lot of things going on right now with frequency changes. I mean, you look at the Sherman residents, like Nathaniel was saying, you know, we're getting spikes here and there, and I honestly don't think CERN has anything to do with it because, like I said, I don't give them that much credit. But that's just my opinion. So
yeah, I think Brian wants to wrap it up. It's getting late.
We're wrap it up. Brian, is it okay if I share your wrap with?
Of course.
Everyone else.
Yeah,
definitely. Are you guys ready for this?
I just put the thing in the channel chat in the Hangouts chat. So.
Thanks, Bluebird.
Thanks, Bluebeard.
Yeah, thank you.
Bluebird.
Bluebeard. It's all right. I get it all the time.
No. It's just because I'm thinking of my mom and
it's better than Big Bird. It's better than Big Bird with the white hair. They went transgender on everybody. It's crazy.
Before we call it a night, Brian, can Cynthia just say where people could find her again and all that, and her website?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. My website is realityfingers.com, and that's the best place to find me. I've got a YouTube channel. I'm on Facebook, Twitter. But again, I've got a free newsletter, and you can sign up for it at realityshifters.com. And I've got books and a meditation CD, and I love to talk to people about their experiences.
That was great. It was great to meet you, Cynthia.
Great to meet you. Yeah.
Yes, Cynthia. Thanks for
meeting you. Nice meeting you, Cynthia.
Thanks for coming on. You know, you're really great with your research and everything. And if there's a way that, you know, we can donate, you know, do you have a donation link or anything?
Yeah, I've got, it's through PayPal, and that is great. You can always donate just through PayPal, cynthia@realityshifters.com.
Okay. And
guest donations are really welcome. Thank you for mentioning
that. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Because, you know, that really does take a lot of energy to research this stuff, you know?
Yes, it does.
Thank you, Cynthia.
And thank you for waking up my girlfriend, too, you know, to the Mandela. She's been awake since 2008. Lisa Payne. She's been watching your channel religiously.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I'd like to play, without any further ado, this is the Mandela Effect Rap by Brian Staveley.
Yo, yo, Brian, in the house.
See if maybe I could turn up my volume a little bit. Can everybody hear that?
Did you know your reality is being put to the test? The Panama Canal no longer runs east and west. Things you are sure happened never did in this reality. The crunchy cereal with the captain now has an apostrophe. Summer changed for many folks. That punctuation now just showed up on different strokes. It can't be attributed to only digital content. Take a look at South America. They moved the whole fucking continent. Even pop in your copy of Star Wars. It could be 30 years old. Shit, when is C-3PO not all in gold? Maybe you haven't noticed the changes yet. Open your eyes, trust your senses, and you realize the Mandela effect. I'm from the reality where the youngest Jackson was a girl. Volkswagen logo had no line, and Ford had no curl. The Black Tom attack we didn't learn of in school. It was always who will save your soul, sung by Jewel. The music ones really stand out to me. It's no longer I want to paint it black in this reality. People writing it off is bad memory. Even with Superman, Chris Reeves, running your trap, dismissing it is one of my pet peeves. Everything I research, people say it's a psyop. Even simple things like pointing out the towers can't collapse from the top. Somehow we are experiencing merging timelines. For more research, check out my site, The Real News Online.
There's more. Hold on. Get better.
I started noticing changes in like 2014. It was JFK, the six-seater, that seemed so obscene. Many people will try and call me a loon. But hold up, wait, they even changed the spelling of Looney Tunes? Let these thoughts sink deep into ya. How could you ever miss the Great Wall of India? Statue of Liberty was on Ellis Island. Go search there for it now, and you won't find it. It's time for you to wake up. Hello, Clarice. In this reality, the Monopoly guy never had the eyepiece. Some of these changes, I don't see how you can dispute. For me, it was always the Smithsonian Institute. Institution? Well, to my ears, that's simply noise pollution. For me, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. The human anatomy changes bug me out, but really, they should. As contrived as they may be, it was always daylight savings time and Halley's Comet for me. Our poor neighbors up north are swallowed by the sea. Some of these geography changes are so obvious to me. You might think, Brian, you went too far. I'll say, since when is Cuba as big as Florida? Hey, listen up here. The forest fighting ranger was called Smokey the Bear. I'm writing this song to have a little fun. Raise your awareness. If I build it, I know they will come.
Almost done. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Many want to know. Well, I don't think it's CERN. They're just a magic show. Satanists doing rituals while scamming Mad Dough. Sounds familiar like liars that always show us the globe. NASA, CERN, and more. We really need to show these corrupt agencies the door. I don't think this phenomenon is caused by man. I think it's a great awakening. Possibly God trying to contact us any way he can. For me, Flat Earth Mandela and our dreams are all connected. Looking to pull some people in that I can intersect with. Trying to wrap your head around it, it can be a hoop. Now Italy, it's no longer a standing boot. Shit, I'm hoping these changes might actually make me kinda cute. As crazy as it may seem to be, now Chewbacca has never been a Wookiee. It's time to look into this. Get your now, before you mock me and call me a fool, just remember, Lucy, you got some splaining to do.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was awesome, yeah.
Bravo.
There you go, Brian.
Glad you guys like it.
There you go, Brian.
I'm glad you guys like it.
That's it was really great.
I've never ever tried to rap in my entire life. I just figured I'd put a song together because I see other people doing it. It makes me want to do it.
Yeah. Hey, I would buy it. I would buy it. I like it.
I've never tried it in my life. Ever.
Straight out of Compton.
Ron, do you have a donation link too?
Says straight out of curvature.
I like that.
Aaron sent me this today for Verities.
Hey, Cynthia, one last question before we go. In relation to, you know, flat versus round Earth, what is your I was just curious, what? How do you feel about that?
Well, it looks round to me, but that's just where I'm at now. But yeah. The way I see things change, I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. And we look forward to seeing you again on future shows. And I really appreciate your work.
And well, thank you
guys. Have a great Mandela Effect night. Yeah. God bless y'all.
Good night, guys.
Bless you all, too.
Good night. Love
you. Good night.
Don't forget to check out Cynthia to her website. Have a great night, guys.
God bless.
Bye.
Bye.